Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today. I don't know about where you are, but there's a little sprinkle out here that I'm noticing around our area, and I am positive that sprinkle might intensify in the next several days, knowing that we have a storm off the shore. We're going to talk about today storms and finding safety in the storms. I believe that there is a need for us to be calm and recognize that God is in control. And when we talk about the storms, that reminds me to remind you that you can dial 831-0917. 831-0917 is the telephone number that gets your call right through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion together on this broadcast today. Keep in mind, as we look at issues and as we face issues, we need to do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's called having a biblical worldview. The biblical worldview means we simply look at the Word of God as truth, a source book of truth, not a matter of a truth here or truth there, or a little truth mixed in between, but a total truth. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus gave a dogmatic, directive understanding of what truth is. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, from Genesis through the book of the Revelation, truth is fountainheaded and found foundationally out of the Word of God. So let me encourage you to study the Word, memorize the Word, know the Word, hide the Word of God in your heart, so that as we face issues, we can face them based on the authority of Scripture and not based on denominational dogma with the rites, rituals, rules, and regulations that you find within the realm of religiosity. But we need to base our decisions based on the authority of Scripture. I'm delighted to announce to you today that this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals that are wanting to have their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries hurricane preparedness equipment. That's interesting for today in particular. Hurricane preparedness equipment. They have a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff on answering all of your questions on how to use generators and backup power equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where you see the 165-foot pole with Old Glory flying. The flag is flying there 24/7. May I remind you, Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Or look them up on the website, toolsfortime.com. That's toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me take a moment and invite you to worship with us any Sunday. 9:30 is Bible study hour, 10:45 a.m. and 7 p.m. is the worship time each Sunday. Be delighted to have you join us for one of the Sunday services, Sunday school, Bible study, worship service morning or afternoon. Would also like to remind you that our semester for Conservative Theological University, by the way, CTU, been around since 1982. CTU is delighted to offer to you Conservative Bible College and Graduate Division Studies in the Word of God, Doctrinal Studies, Theological Studies, studies of whatever area category that you're serving in ministry. CTU provides those studies for you. This semester, the fall semester, begins on the 9th of September. That's on a Monday, 5:30 in the afternoon for orientation. If you think you might have an interest, or you may be concerned about your Bible studies and what God would have you to do, let me invite you to join us for the orientation for the fall semester. No cost to you. Come sit with us. Listen to blurbs about the courses that will be taught. See what God says to you. We're going to be having two courses this fall for the fall semester, Paul's Missionary Journeys. It's covered in the book of Acts, the 13th chapter and following. And one that's called Hammer Theology and Soteriology. And those words simply mean sin and salvation. Be studying sin and salvation. What is sin? What's the cause of sin? What's the cure for sin? What is salvation? Is salvation simply getting better and better? Does salvation mean that you need to join the church to salvation? What is salvation? How does a person get saved? How does he know he's saved? How do you know that you're saved today? So those are the two major courses that we'll teach in the fall. Have Dr. Phelps with us today. Dr. Neil Phelps is one of the theology and doctrinal professors, and he teaches Bible in the college and the graduate division in the university. Dr. Phelps, take a minute and share with our listeners why it's important to understand Paul's missionary journeys and what that study is about and what you are hoping to be able to impart to the students during the fall semester on that subject.
The course will be based upon the missionary work of Paul the Apostle. And that begins in the book of Acts chapter 13, when they were called to begin their missionary work. They traveled throughout the known world at that time, carrying the gospel to many places that had never heard the gospel before. They had had some knowledge of the Jewish religion, but so many people were caught up in atheism, agnosticism, and all of the philosophies of the Greek world at that time. But the Apostle Paul carried then the gospel, the truth of the gospel, which is able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. And as they went forth then, he made three missionary journeys, at least three. And as they traveled, then we will be looking at each of those places, the message that he brought to them, and the things that took place wherever he went. The many, perhaps we would call them theological questions that came up, and the many times of opposition to the gospel. We'll be studying all of the doctrinal things that deal with the work of a missionary, And so we'll be studying the work, the missionary travels of Paul the Apostle, and that will be based upon the Scriptures. We study the Scriptures as we go along and deal with many of the questions that come up and many topics that are discussed, so that we hope that we will enrich your life and cause you to see that God wants us also to be missionaries, to be ambassadors for Christ, and how that we can serve according to the Scriptures.
Amen. Dr. Phelps, maybe our listeners need to understand, by the way, to enroll or to get further information about CTU, you can dial 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Let me suggest, Dr. Phelps, perhaps our listeners also would need to understand, we have, I'm sure, a number of people listening today that at some point in time they've thought, well, I need to know more about God's Word. I need to study the Scripture more. Ladies and gentlemen, you'd be surprised how many people enroll in Bible college and seminary, the graduate division, that they are not involved in ministry from the standpoint of full-time or bivocational ministry. They're Sunday school teachers, ushers, deacons, or just simply men and women that love the Lord and want to study the Word more. They get involved in that, Dr. Phelps, and I found consistently, year after year after year, semester after semester, those that get enrolled and involved just simply studying the Word, at a point in time, God will call them, and they surrender to full-time or bivocational ministry. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you enter that category where you're wondering, Lord, what would you have me to do next, let me encourage you to call 1-800-GO-BIBLE, leave your contact information that someone can get back with you, schedule a time for you to come in for a conference, or if nothing else, ladies and gentlemen, just be involved by coming on September the 9th at 5:30 here on campus in Jacksonville's campus, sit in the orientation program, listen to some of the blurbs about the courses, get to know us, and see what God would have you to do. We're looking forward to that. By the way, Dr. Phelps, let me say this also before we get into our Bible study today that I believe is relevant to the time of the with the circumstances of the storm that's out on the coast and the study that we'll do today. Let me say to our listeners, the fall semester, we have some partial and full scholarships available for those that perhaps are available to work part-time in ministry to assist your own campus in some category of ministry work to offset your tuition. We have other tuition scholarships available for those that are veterans that have a clean discharge with the DD-214 and other discharge documents. We would love to be able to sit with you and see what God would have you to do, that we might lock arms with you and walk with you through that journey of getting a theological, doctrinal, biblical training for what God would have you to do in the future. Dr. Phelps, I'm delighted to have you with us today. It's always a joy on our studies of Scripture and different theological, doctrinal studies that we go through, that we can have this dialogue and discussion together. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm holding in my hand a, let's see if I can find it. Here it is. It says the Florida braces for Hurricane Dorian. It's from the Associated Press. It says Florida residents picked the shelves clean of bottled water and lined up at gas stations Thursday as an increasingly menacing-looking Hurricane Dorian threatened to broadside the state over Labor Day weekend. The article further states, this is from Associated Press, the National Hurricane Center in the category says the Category 1 storm is expected to strengthen into a potentially catastrophic Category 4 with winds of 130 miles an hour and slam into the U.S. on Monday, somewhere, listen to this broad area now, somewhere between Florida, the Florida Keys, and southern Georgia. The article goes on to say it's a 500-mile stretch that reflected a high degree of uncertainty. In other words, there's a major, major degree of uncertainty as to where it's going to come on shore and the end result of which bend and direction it's going to take. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. What we're wanting to communicate in the broadcast today is the fact that, listen, I know that most of us, if you are anyway interested and concerned, most of us have heard about the storm. Many of us have been glued to the television set. All of us seeking to find out just how to respond, how to prepare for the approaching storm. And I don't know about you, but ladies and gentlemen, I've been in Florida for over 40 years. And let me tell you, I still have not been able to get acclimated to the watching and the waiting for a gigantic storm spinning off the coast. Never will forget many years ago, after first coming to Florida, sitting in, I think we were boarded up for about 8 days with the hurricane right off the coast, about 100, 150 miles off the coast of Jacksonville, and just spinning, very ominous looking when you'd sit on television. And we sat there with bated breath for about 8 days, boarded up, I think it was. And we didn't know at what time, at what moment the storm could make a westerly turn and just slice right through Jacksonville. Fortunately for our city, it made a spin to the right, northeast, and affected some other coast. But we were drenched and a lot of damage from that. But never will forget that. I can't get acclimated to it year by year. Now, does that mean that I'm frightened or fearful? In some occasions, you might say yes. We all are capable and susceptible to being fearful of that which we do not know, that which we cannot understand. But there is one that surely understands and knows, one thing that's very, very sure, that is God, not Mother Earth, God, not Mother Nature. I watched a hurricane preparedness team from our city on the news this morning, and they were giving a lot of information that was good. I'm not in any way demeaning that, but the speaker that was talking at the time said, you know, we can't be sure because Mother Nature is going to do what she wants to do. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, it's not what she wants to do. It's not Mother Nature. It's Father God that's Amen. In control. And so I want us to understand it's God that we need to place our faith and trust and confidence in. And the scripture tells us very, very clearly in Psalms 107, verse 29, He, that is God, maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are stilled. That's what the Word of God says. And although the storm's real and the harm and danger is very real, nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, for the believer, we must walk by faith and place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. Remember, storms will never last forever. Storms are not forever. In the midst of the storms, we're to seek shelter in the Lord. I understand seeking shelter, boarding up, doing all that we can from the human standpoint of preparedness. But Dr. Phelps, from the study of Scripture, what would you say God's purpose for a storm? What are His purposes? Why does He send the storms? It's in His hand. It's in His control. Why do we face storms?
Sometimes God sends or allows the storm to come so that He will get our attention, so that we will return to Him. We need to have our reliance upon the One who is greater than the storm. God is greater than any storm that we may see in the sky. He's greater than any storm you may have in your life, or any problem or any situation. God is over all. The Lord is sovereign.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, that word sovereign, if you want us, let's pick that apart and talk about it a minute. Sovereign means that He is in ultimate, total, absolute control of the events in this whole world. Some are majorly misunderstanding the term sovereignty. Some teach that the sovereignty of God means that man doesn't have free will. We have free will. We can pick and choose to obey or disobey God through His Word, or we can pick and choose to disobey, but God is still sovereign. We're not puppets because of the sovereignty of God. We can, for example, in the sovereignty of God, with the winds and the waves and the storms that are before us, we can understand that He's in control of the weather, the winds and the waves. But we can make a decision, for example, not to prepare, not just to ignore what they tell us on television by the Hurricane Preparedness Center or our local officials or state officials. We can choose to ignore that. Or, in the same vein, we can choose to ignore the fact that God is in sovereign control. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a text that I am so thankful for in Psalms 107, verse 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses, verse 29 of that text says, and maketh the storm calm. And that's what God can do, and that's what God does. He's in control. Dr. Phelps, share with us some thoughts about storms in the Scripture and what the Bible says and what we ought to recognize. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Let's Face the Issues. You're listening to Dr. Youngblood. We're talking about the storm, in particular storms in the Scripture, and what God is doing and why we need to recognize that though the hurricane that's out off the coast is real, we need to place our faith and trust and confidence in the Lord and not in the worry and the fright and the fear of what may take place because of the hurricane, the storm. Ladies and gentlemen, you can dial 831-0917. I urge you to do so. Perhaps you're panic-stricken. Perhaps you're wondering. I listened and watched the early morning news this morning, Dr. Phelps, and on the early morning news, there was a lady from South Florida that had just moved to Florida and from the Northeast, and she said she was petrified. Another one they interviewed said that they had been living in South Florida for 2 years. They'd gone through, I think they said, two or three hurricanes or storms, said, we're moving back to where we moved from. And there are a lot of folks today that are panic-stricken. And the purpose of this broadcast today is to teach us to faith God even in the midst of the storm. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Certainly a timely topic. I have a few thoughts I would like to pass on, particularly in response to what Dr. Phelps so rightly said. God does things to get our attention.
Yes.
I want to preface my comments with what you just finished with. There's no reason for fear, panic, or anything else. The Bible is very clear, among other places, and this isn't cherry-picking, I don't think. Isaiah 3:10, in context, says, but tell the righteous it will be well with them. And that statement is made in placed in the context of judgment falling at that time, of course, the northern kingdom of Israel impending on Judah. But tell the righteous it will be well with them, and that falls with Psalms 91 that says, only with your eyes you behold and see the reward of the wicked. God takes care of His people. So I know we're in agreement on that point. But for the longest time, I've believed, no, that's not the right statement. I've put in writing to city leaders my belief that because of what the mayor staff and the political leadership of this city have done, expressly their position on the LGBT movement and some other things that are an offense to God, Jacksonville has probably lost its protective cover. You know, no storm has really directly hit Jacksonville in the last half of the 19th century, none of the 20th, and in the 21st. Now, we've experienced storms, but only Dora in 1966, which fell, which had landfall south of Jacksonville, I think in St. Augustine, has been the only one that was semi-direct. Storms have missed this city, I believe, because of the three or four groups, disparate groups, that dedicated the city and or Northeast Florida to the Lord God Almighty. I believe he has honored that. We turned our back on him locally, just as the Democrats did on September the 5th, 2012, when they kicked God and booed God publicly. But Jacksonville took steps that I believe has caused God's, well, let's say his attention, his wrathful attention to be drawn to us. So when I first saw the storm forming and follow its tracks, and I've been intimately involved with hurricane movements as a pilot, particularly in 2004, 2005. And the things about this storm that hit my memory cell, and I began to think that because I put in writing with several city officials that 18 months from our last election, we will, of a certainty, in my opinion, see God deal with us in a way that will warn us of what we have done. I really expected this storm, and it still may happen, to focus on Jacksonville as ground zero and teach us a lesson. And the way the storm is moving, with the warm currents that still has to go over, with the speed of the storm slowing down, a possible weakening of the aloft low that is steering this thing, we may still get a direct strike on Jacksonville, and it could even be higher than a 4. My opinion, but that's based on experience in the past. That said, the track that's currently forecast made me think of something, and that's the point of what I'm calling in about. The only thing more egregious, I think, than what's happened in Jacksonville in recent months or in recent years, and that being the LGBT thing, is the perfidy that's afoot in West Palm Beach, the election manipulation, the liberal cell of people there who are anti-God. Of course, you know, recently the Democrats have embraced the righteous atheist as the backbone of their organization. I saw that online the other day.
Yes, I did too.
I have confidence in that source. I haven't fully validated it, but it sure is consistent with what you hear them saying and doing. So probably before God deals with Jacksonville, he's going to deal with West Palm Beach, and perhaps that's what's happening. Now, certainly, you know, you can't just come out and say, God told me he's hitting this person and that person. But God does, as Dr. Phelps says, move to get our attention. And there are people in West Palm Beach, Christians, that if they were doing what God told them to do, preach the gospel in season and out of season, and weren't focused on what that area is, tremendously wealthy, one of the wealthiest counties in the state and the United States, if we hadn't focused on the material things and focused on what God called us to, that cell of Democrats would never have developed so strongly in West Palm Beach. So we'll see where the storm goes. But I still hold that it's entirely possible that those of us in Jacksonville who didn't preach the gospel in season and out of season and do the things that we're told to do, didn't live the lives we should, and were preoccupied by wealth and other issues, may still, and I put it in writing because I think it will happen before 18 months from the last election, will show us through a storm, perhaps some other stuff, just what a blessing it is to be able to say, tell the righteous it will be well with them. And we have now lost that for the most part. Christian Northeast Florida, which is truly what it was, has now weakened to the point where we are We are, I believe, about to be shown, and this one storm, this first significant storm of the season, is the warning that God is giving us. But it is a certainty, I believe, just because of the time we live in, that things are never going to be better. We will continue to see storms get worse and worse, not only because the sin of Jacksonville and West Palm Beach and the sin in general, but it's because, as you know, and Dr. Phelps absolutely know, we are in the last days, and the vast majority of Christians have been inured by things that happened back in the 16th century around the time of the Reformation. Some were good, but some put a doctrine into play that inured the vast majority of Christians that evolved from that time to the fact that we are in the end times.
And absolutely.
We need to go back. And I'm fixing to wrap this up. Thank you for allowing me to speak my mind.
I'm thankful that you called.
We need to go back and meditate, and I hope people will listen carefully to this verse and do that. If they would meditate on, I'm pretty sure this is accurate, 2 Timothy chapter 3, but drop down past the verses we so often quote, but Timothy know that perilous times shall come, down to around verse 12, and read through verse 17, or the end of chapter 3. It tells us what we need to do. It tells us what we need to understand to cope with the times that we're in. A very distracting doctrine was put in play in the 1500s, in the 16th century. It impacts us today, and only those who understand the doctrine that you are preaching and the doctrine that Dr. Phelps is also sharing, that is dispensation theology, can really account for the times that we live in. But the final comment is simply this. Dr. Phelps, I agree with you. God sends storms to send us a warning. And we better pay attention because of a certainty. And again, I'm in writing to city officials of saying this, that within essentially a year from now, the end of the next hurricane season, I think we're going to know just how angry God is with us. And this storm might be a way to tell us. However, tell those who understand what's happening, tell the righteous, it will be well with them, for only with our eyes will we behold and see the reward of the wicked. God Amen. Says what yes. he says, and he means what he says. We need to submit to that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your call, for your input. It's so well placed. In fact, I'm looking at my cell phone. I just got a text, and it can't be verified. Some out there might know it and might can verify it. This article, this notice says, Mayor Lenny Curry just issued an executive order for mandatory prayer. And I don't know whether that is verifiable or if it's not. But ladies and gentlemen, we do also need to recognize the need to pray. We're in serious days, serious times. We're in the last days. And you study Matthew chapter 24, and you find out what's happening in the days of the tribulation. You find that we'll have major, major, major cataclysmic changes in our weather. And I think we're seeing part of that. But I want us to rest assured that we're not hopeless. This is not a hopeless, helpless broadcast from that standpoint. We're talking about the fact that we can place our hope and trust in the Lord and the realization that He is absolutely sovereign. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a minute break for our news time. We're coming right back after the break. Don't turn your dial. Hang in there. Call, tell others to join in this broadcast today. Be right back just after the news to continue our talk today as we face the issues we're talking about, the storms.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.